that I can count Van Rensburg as a blessing. We thought it was a bit of long and awkward until I met Mrs. Klingenpeel. It's so interesting that no matter when children are born, in terms of the eras or the centuries, that the core needs of children stay the same. Let's just sum those up again quickly. That would be the core need to be loved, affirmation, time spent with children would do that for them. Structure, boundaries, and discipline are what love is made of, making children feel secure. And then the core need to be safe. She was talking about celebrating a child's uniqueness, helping them really to discover who they are and help them to manage successes as well as failures. And then purpose. Every child has a core need for a sense of purpose and to share experience and to be educated that life has meaning. And so we can agree that it's a big job that we've got to do. And the job that we are here to talk about tonight as parents is to ensure that our children have a wise and healthy interaction with technology. Now, that is a big task, as we said, because essentially our children have a relationship with technology. It's not just that they use technology, but they actually have a relationship with technology. And if we can frame it like that, it actually helps us to deal with this in the right context. So most relationships to stay healthy require boundaries, investment, and so on. And if we can look at our children's relationship with media and with just with the age that we're living in, then we do help ourselves by framing it correctly. Let's have a look at a toolbox, because really that's what we all want to go home with, is something practical. We are at different stages in this journey as parents. Some of you might have young kids, others might have teenagers, and so the progression goes. You're tempted to think that when your children are small, you're doing the hardest job and the older kids are not giving their parents gray hair. The older your children get, however, you realize that at every stage, there are different challenges in growth and development. And so, yeah, tonight we want to open the toolbox and take some tools for this task that we are faced with. The practical guides that I'm going to share come from a resource by Tony Modell, and we will make them available on our website. But yeah, if you're jotting them down, feel free, but you can access them afterwards as well. So let's start with one. We're going to build 12 altogether, but the first one is to say, delay social media for as long as possible. And the point here is that social media has got so many nuances attached to it that we would do ourselves well as parents, and most likely the parents that are listening up right now have got the young children. And so what we're saying is delay connecting them to social media for as long as you can, because in effect, it keeps their life simple for as long as you can. And kids look for life in the internet, but it also, as we heard, costs them when they become involved in social media. So to delay social media as a whole, which is, let's be honest, it's like holding back the tide, but it's a tide worth holding back for your 5, 6, 7-year-old to keep their world uncomplicated. Number two would be to delay the introduction for your kids to the smartphone. And very often, for our convenience, we tend to pass our old phones on to our children, and these days most of them are smartphones. But the thinking behind this point is that on a smartphone, parental control is definitely more limited. It's harder to achieve parental control on a smartphone simply because of all the functions that they can facilitate. So Snapchat, texting, the truth is, looking at the stats of today, that we were just chatting earlier, Susie was saying most children are actually, they are exposed to pornography by 9 years old. That's quite a shocker. And you would think that's maybe other people's children, but it can very well be ours. So the smartphone is what a lot of kids do have in their possession, and we've got to face the fact that we have to teach them how to use it correctly. But the fact that many children in your child's peer group will be using their smartphone to sext, to send explicit pictures of themselves, this is a known fact that teachers, parents are dealing with every day. And so the smartphone is a blessing, but then, like all blessings, we have to manage the responsibility. We'll talk a bit about that just now. Number three, inside your home, take control of the Wi-Fi. It's quite a big one, that. To actually take control of the Wi-Fi and set limits unapologetically. Now, hardly any of our children will automatically work with us at this point. Most of them will moan and groan, but we the parents. And so boundary setting is wisdom put into action parentally. When a young child wants to use the computer, now we're talking young, 5, 6, perhaps 7, 8, it would be a good idea to ask them, why do you need to use the computer? What do you want to do on the computer? And get them to explain to you whatever the task is. And in doing so, it helps young children establish that there is a clear purpose for the use of that gadget, for the use of the computer. There is a purpose to that use. And that helps them in turn frame the usage of technology in a healthy way. So it is a purpose-filled experience that we look to technology to help us in. The fourth one would be outside of our homes. Now, these are very basic principles. And some of you might be thinking, sure, I thought we came for more than this. But the truth is, so much of the big things actually start with the small things. So we're paying attention to some very basic things tonight that put into action really do lead to health and freedom for our children. Number four, outside of our homes, to connect with our children and to ensure that they're safe, which is a legitimate concern on our behalf, what we could do is definitely explore for our younger children the option of things like the Verizon Gizmo Watch, things that would be able to track them. We would be able to know where they are. We'd be able to know that they're safe. They would be able to make a call if they needed to, but it doesn't have the added features that would complicate their lives. And now after that clip, you'd understand what I'm saying with complicate in inverted commas. That really serves a particular function that is age appropriate for the young child. And then that takes us to number five, which is stair-stepping technology. And what really this means is that the smartphone in itself is not an isolated device. Think about it. The smartphone is actually a culmination of all communication technology that your child has been exposed to. So the smartphone takes all of that and it encompasses it. And so in dealing with the smartphone and dealing with technology, to stair-step would mean to age-appropriately expose our children to technology. So let's start at the youngest age. We're talking toddlers who would very likely on the tablet be coloring in or playing educational games. There's lots of those, and they're absolutely amazing. The next stage would be perhaps the child who is watching educational videos. Again, there's a purpose to these things. They're enjoyable for sure. The family computer in a communal space, perhaps the child is slightly older. A simple phone, a gizmo for contact purposes. Probably we're looking at approximately a 10-year-old who would be able to work on the family computer, researching, would be able to be safe and connected to their parents through other devices. But the smartphone, as you can see, the wisdom is to put that off for as long as you can. And so the next step would be Google searches for research and so on, where your child would independently go onto the internet and begin to search for things and information that they need. And Facebook Messenger, that could be part of that stage, but it would be on a communal computer that offers safety of being able to see what your child is accessing, and it's in a communal space where it's not an isolated experience. And we would probably be looking at about an 11 or 12-year-old child for that. And then what Tony has suggested is that from 15 years old or thereabouts, because every child is unique and different, and you as a parent need to be able to have the confidence to stay step as you feel your child is ready for it, about 13 to 15-year-olds managing a smartphone. So we understand by the stair-step approach that digital life should have a trajectory. Just like all the other skills that our children have mastered, we need to help them establish the fact that they can be reliable and wise in their usage. And as they show that, so the privilege is increased. As the responsibility is learned and actioned, the privilege increases. And so the fact about mobile data and the smartphone, some of our kids might have smartphones, but when we give them mobile data, we actually, in effect, have very little parental control left when it comes to that device. So that's just something to bank and bear in mind if you haven't got there yet, or if you're sitting with a child with a smartphone, to carefully think about this, giving them free access with data. Number six would be screens out of the bedroom. So these are all tools in the toolbox that if we use these tools, we will be able to build healthy children and help them build a healthy relationship with technology. Screens out of bedrooms, let's think a bit about this. Perhaps out of bedrooms completely might be a bridge too far for you, but let's say basically at least maybe 8 in the evening to 8 in the morning, to say phones get charged in a communal space or perhaps even in mom and dad's bedroom if you need to be sure that they are there. Because by dislocating a phone, dislodging a phone from your child, what it does is that it actually helps them to set healthy boundaries for using their phones, and it breaks off for them this endless social demand. We were chatting at our table about how this social demand is so great in the age that we live in. Immediate responses on WhatsApp, immediate return, and that can get quite exhausting for adults. Would you agree? And if you're a child trying to navigate that, it's something that we have to help them put a boundary on, and actually that we have to model ourselves. And here's the challenging part. A lot of these tools that we're going to be showing our kids how to use, it would be good and it would be very helpful if we were using them and modeling them to our children. That's the greatest teacher, is our behavior. It also helps with sleeping patterns. We find a lot of, especially teenagers, really find it very, very difficult to discipline themselves in terms of not being on a device and getting a good night's sleep. And so by taking that out of their hands and actually making it a house rule really ensures that they have a good night's sleep. And it also ensures that a gaming addiction has no space to develop, because those often develop in isolation behind closed doors when a child is left with a device for a very extended period of time. So the idea here would be very practical to, for those hours, charge the phones, devices in a communal space, modeling that there's a time and a place for these technologies, for these devices that can actually be intrusive if not handled correctly. So we help them, and we as parents protect them and help them put boundaries in place. Number 7 would be a smartphone contract. And I'm not talking about MTN or Cell C. Actually, a smartphone contract where when your child is given a smartphone, you actually sit down and you create a clear understanding, a contract of expected behavior. What is acceptable? You have to spell it out because you're going to get their agreement. Not, I didn't know, give me one more chance. No, we're going to make it all clear before you have the privilege of using the device. It's not too late. If you have kids with smartphones, think about implementing this with them. The curfews, when they will use that phone, what are your family expectations socially? What is acceptable to you in your home? When are you not wanting them to be on that device? Mealtimes, that sort of thing. It's good to talk about that. For them, in this contract, to share their login information with you as a parent. That brings security to a child. Yes, a lot of moaning if they're teenagers. But the truth is, it brings security. And that is part of the privilege that you're allowing them with that device, is the responsibility to use it correctly. So you need to be able to check up on that as a parent. And then there's this agreement where privilege and responsibility go together. And that's a very important thing to teach our children, that along with privilege, there is responsibility. Number 8, monitor each child's response to technology. Maybe you're sitting here and you've got more than one child, and you would notice that children are so unique in how they interact with the world around them. And it is the same with technology. Our children respond to technology differently. You would find one child who would literally sit and watch like YouTube gag videos for hours on end. It's not adding any value to their life, but they are loving it and they would happily do it for a day. You get another child who is also perhaps on the internet, but there they are finding out how to build things or make things or play instruments and things like that, and they're skilling themselves. And so those two things are not actually equal when we weigh them up. And so it's to say, look at how your child uses technology and how they interface with technology. And you might find that although they're on the same progression, the stair steps, they might actually be on varied steps in that same progression. And each child would actually be able to move on or graduate, if you like, from one step to the next as they have proven responsible with technology. Number 9, this is really, I think, the heart of what we're talking about tonight, is to recenter our parenting affections. Parenting really is a war that we wage for our children's affections. Can I say that again? As a parent, we wage war for our children's affections. I'm not talking about their affection for you as a mom or dad. That comes into it. But we wage war for their affection for God and for biblical values. We are waging a war for that. There's so much in the world that is clamoring for our children's affections, and we as parents have to take note of that and choose to be actively involved. This is not a time to be passive, because the war is being waged. We can't be lazy or apathetic, because then our children's affections will be given elsewhere. Smartphones do not invent new sins. They simply amplify every temptation of life, and they place it on a screen, and they give easy access. That's the truth. And so we need more than ever to center our child's affections and help them do that on the things that really matter. Number 10 would be part of this. It's what we'd call digital discipleship. You're the new Christian buzzword. Digital discipleship. Really, we're all about discipleship as believers. Why would technology be outside of that process? It's part of growing people. It's certainly part of growing our kids. To teach, to guide, to model. We see Jesus doing it. It's part of discipleship. That is how values are instilled and values are transferred, is through teaching, guiding, modeling. And that is extremely challenging for us as parents. As parents, we do teach our children practical skills. We see to their needs practically. But truly, it's the issues of the heart that are the most important. Issues of the heart, what the heart wants. Helping them to see what does their heart want, because there are completely legitimate needs that our hearts have, that God placed in us. But when we don't meet them in a legitimate way, that's when we become unhealthy. So the heart longs for certain things that are legitimate, longs to be understood, longs to be valued, longs to be affirmed. But friends, we have to help our children meet those longings in a legitimate way. Number 11 would be to invest in family relationships. You can see how these all tie together. The bridge of relationship is really where we carry our values over to our children's lives. Relationship matters. It is through relationship that we carry the values that we hold dear into our children's lives. Relationship is the bridge that we build with them so we can carry our values over, the biblical values that we hold dear, so that they will be able to do the same. Small moments really matter. Small moments in family life really matter. We all love the big holidays, the outings, the treats. Those are awesome, and hopefully they're part of your family life. But it's the small moments that build relationship. It is actually the family dinners where it's not a smart meal per se. Everybody pitches up at the table, perhaps in their sports gear or whatever. It's not a fancy time, but it's a treasured time because it's a connecting time. Car rides. Those of you in the car, especially if you've got boys, you have to trick boys into talking to you sometimes. And the car is often the best place for that. And it's those moments in daily life, that interaction, that we use to build the bridge of relationship. And so we could say that as a family, let's give ourselves to making those moments phone-free. For ourselves as parents, also for our children, when we could actually connect and share and get the eye contact and have a look into each other's worlds in a meaningful way. Small moments matter. The opposite of addiction is not sobriety. the opposite of addiction is connection. That is a very powerful quote by a man called Johann Hari, and he's a journalist and a writer, and he spent many years working with depressed people, people with addictions. And that is what he sums up his work, his life's work actually, as. The opposite of addiction is not sobriety, but the opposite of addiction is connection. Goes back to what we were talking about before, relationship. And so this leads us to number 12, the final number 12, which encourages us as parents to keep building within community, to keep building the church community. For us, that is the most dear and precious community that we are a part of. And it was quite shocking to learn that these iGens, our iGens of 6 to 23 years old, Nick got 26, I think, in some of his stats, but the iGens are actually the loneliest generation, even more so than those that are over 72 in our society. Isn't that crazy? But it's a fact. And so we see this incredible need for connection. And when that the need for connection is not met, then of course we see many of the addictions that we see now. And many of those addictions take the form through technology. And so technology or machines in today's world would actually be teaching our children that the need for people interaction is completely minimized. Think about it. 20 years ago, we had people doing a whole lot of stuff that gets done by machines today. Now, the need for people is extremely minimized in our world. And loneliness becomes a reality. Loneliness in this tech age, we learn that technology will render everyone unnecessary to you. Our children can learn that technology will render other people unnecessary to you. But then the truth is that soon you'll discover that you've been rendered unnecessary to everyone else. So we see the need for connection is a real one, and we cannot afford to minimize the value of that relational connectivity, which sows into identity, emotional development, thought processes. How our thought processes are shaped comes through relational connectivity. It feeds our humanity. It feeds our empathy. It feeds our compassion. And when this doesn't happen through relational connectivity, friends, often smartphones are used as a painkiller for loneliness. And they're a poor substitute, and they don't deliver the desired results. And so in conclusion, our greatest need across all of our generations is community. Because it's in community that we belong, that we are loved, and that we learn what our purpose is, where we can be healthy and productive, where within our faith community we have connection and purpose, where we love and we be loved, where we serve and we be served, where we learn that our life counts, where we are able to be envisioned for the greater calling that we were born for. And so in our church, family on mission, this is not a sideline to this. These are one and the same thing, where we disciple our children into having a healthy relationship with technology. We are a family on mission. We are doing life together. And so I hope tonight, this toolbox, very practical things that perhaps you've jotted a few down, perhaps a few have kind of, you've double-clicked on them. And Jonna's going to tell you how to get hold of the information. But we actually really value you coming out tonight, value you taking the time to invest in your children's lives in this area. It is a vital one.